Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation, Mount Zion, after 12th Hour. In the Liberty Hill, Texas, today is August the 19th, 2014, or it is 8-24, 2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, I Found a Friend, Oh, Such a Friend. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twined those ties which can't be severed. For I am his and he is mine, forever and forever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He bled, he died to save me. And not alone the gift of life, but his own self he gave me. Not that I have my own, I call, I hold it forever. My heart, my strength, my life, my heart are his and his forever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind and true and tender. So wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. Come to love me now so well, what power my soul can sever. Shall life or death, shall earth or hell, so I am his forever. Part 8, City of David. We're going to continue on the City of David for a while. Looks like we're going to read the tract that Alan wrote to Brother Johnson, the last communication that we had with Brother Gilead Center while we were there. Abib 8, on March the 10th, 2003. Okay, Alan spent about 3 days... crafting this letter, and it's going to take more than just one hour to deal with it, I'm sure. So we have looked like a dozen in a single page, single pages. So anyway, Alan titles this "Your Final Warning: An Urgent Message to the Flock of Gilead." So Alan wrote his last letter to the flock of Gilead. And so I want to read to you a scripture, three scriptures from the Bible. In Psalms, they're using the word unity. It only is mentioned three times in the KJV. Psalms 133:1, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity." Ephesians 4:3, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Ephesians 4:13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of the Yahweh unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Yahshua." Okay, it says, "Behold, all souls are mine." This is your final warning, an urgent message to the flock of Gilead. And, I'm assuming that this is, "Your servant in Yahweh's name, Denton Royce Brunken, Catherine Brunken, and Alan Clyde DeLong, as Obadiah." So I guess, I'm the main author of this here track. I wrote, I guess, a couple. Let's go ahead and see what goes on here. This may be Alan writing for me and asking me about some verification on some things here. Let's see what we got here. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, this shall die. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Saith the Yahweh, Elohim, and not that he should return from his ways and live. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and doeth according unto all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live. All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned, and his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Yahweh is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for this iniquity that he hath done shall he die? Again, the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Yahweh is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Everyone according unto his ways, saith the Yahweh. Tell him, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgression, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgression, whereby you have transgressed, and make a new heart and a new spirit, and make ye a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith Yahweh Elohim. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. Ezekiel 18:4 and 23-32. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing, O Israel. Thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the heads of the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Yahweh. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Yahshua saith, and the Yahweh hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision, and have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Yahweh saith it, howbeit, I have not spoken, therefore thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies. Therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Yahweh Elohim, and mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be writing in the... Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Yahweh Elohim, because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with the untempered mortar. Ezekiel 13:1-10. Again the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the children of thy people, future generations in our time, and say unto them, can I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and sit him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, and whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see this sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way, to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, if thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say unto the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust unto his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Yahweh is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and commit iniquity, he shall even die thereby. Ezekiel 33:1-18. Be it known unto you, O house of Israel, Brother Johnson and family, and the 11th congregation, that this document is a severe warning from Yahweh Almighty to turn from your wicked ways and do that which is lawful and right, and you shall surely live. Yahweh's watchmen are now blowing the trumpet and giving that trumpet a certain sound. If you do not heed the warning and the instructions given in this document, then your blood will be upon your own head, and all the righteousness that you have done shall not be remembered. But if you listen unto this trumpet and you take the warning, then you will deliver your soul. Matthew 8:10. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on the earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18:15-20. Brother Willis W. Johnson's refusal to implement Matthew 18:15-20, whenever there was a fault or a trespass between brethren and sisters in his congregation, is what ultimately brought the downfall of the 11th hour apostolic Sabbatarian congregation. There was never any forgiveness of sins. There was never any unity in the church. Church members lived on year after year with nothing but cold-blooded hatred in their hearts for their fellow brethren and sisters, and that situation still exists to this day. There was no blotting out of the sins on the Day of Atonement because there was never any heartfelt repentance and forgiveness of sins during the year. Yahshua's Supper was always taken of unworthily, bringing a damnation upon the congregation. The Holy Spirit was never poured out on the day of the Pentecost because the congregation was never in the one accord. In other words, there has always been a dark, ominous cloud that hangs over, heavy over the Gilead Center even unto this very day. Brother Denton Brunken's attempt over the years to get the leader of the flock, V.W. Johnson, to implement Matthew 18:15-20, were always met with a stern resistance. So apparently this is Alan talking in this part of the letter. So it says, the implementing it was always kept. But even Brother Johnson remembers the hard time he and Randy Hartwright had in the early 90s of getting Brother Denton to see Matthew 18. But he finally did see it. This is Alan talking. However, Brother Johnson would always block Brother Denton when he would try to use it to bring reconciliation between him and opposing church members. Why wouldn't he let him use it? It's in the scriptures. It's there for a purpose. For someone who was so mighty in the scriptures for over 60 years, why would he object to using Bible procedures to solve discord and disunity in the church? Did Brother Johnson judge Denton unworthy? You know, many church members had ought against Brother Denton, including especially my ex-wife, Amy, and Brother Johnson's wife, Laura May. They knew all the details of all the sins he had committed and all of the wrongs that he had done by Denton's proposing Matthew 18. This was their opportunity to literally nail his hide to the wall. But they refused to face him. Why? Did Brother Johnson have hatred in his heart toward Brother Brunken? He tried to stop him from taking Yahshua's Supper in 2002 by suggesting that we hold the Passover at another location. And then without any biblical grounds whatsoever, he kicked him out of the church, all because he delivered a message from Yahweh to him on July the 14th, 2002, a message that Brother Johnson refused to hear and obey, while at the same time vowing that he would not listen to another voice but the voice of Yahweh. So Yahweh gave him the story of the two prophets in 1 Kings 13 as his answer. Brother Johnson jumped all over it, but he misinterpreted and misapplied the prophecy, accusing Denton of being the old lion prophet from Bethel and he the young true prophet from Judah, when in actuality, inspiration clearly shows that the roles are reversed. Why? Because Brother Johnson did break his vow. He did listen to another voice, and he refused to listen to and obey the voice of Yahweh spoken through Denton on that fateful day of July the 14th, 2002. On their return trip from Barstow, Texas, that voice clearly told him to restore the data and remove those who were in opposition to Yahweh's divinely ordained system of true worship. But instead of obeying that voice, Brother Johnson hardened his neck in obstinate rebellion with an attitude that says, "Nobody's going to tell me what to do." As a result, it caused him and his congregation to be cut off at the Solemn Assembly, Tishri 22, on September the 28th, 2002, for refusing to come up and be sanctified, and for the inspiration left Brother Johnson on the morning of the July the 15th, 2002. That was the last time the voice of Yahweh spoke unto him, and since he didn't obey the voice and honor, his vow. Another voice has come in to replace that voice, and it is a voice of the Yahweh, Baal. And it's a voice of the Lord, hyphen Baal, not the voice of Yahweh Almighty. Therefore, the only hope that Brother Johnson and his 11th congregation have is to listen to the voice of Yahweh spoken through antitypical Elijah the Tishbite. Now, this is so sad. Alan wrote this letter in 2000 and on March 10, 2003. We'd been there a whole year. From the Passover 2002, we was coming to the Passover 2003, and Alan and we were, and my wife and I, all three of us, were in perfect accord. And now, in 2014, 11 years later, Alan has said that Brother Johnson published truth, and I don't. I understand Brother Johnson's, but I don't understand you. Now, folks, you're witnessing something that's quite a phenomenon here. As you hear the voice of Alan back then and the voice of his now, it has to be Satan had come in and have worked on his weakness, took advantage of his weakness that he'd never overcome his weaknesses, and it finally overcame him. It's a sad, sad, sad commentary. It's just sad to read it. Because he understood it all aright. He sacrificed all to stay with the truth of me, and then he threw it all over for what? Well, I know what he threw it over for. He was so chagrined because he lost his wife. The one thing he wanted was a woman in his life. And I said, well, if you become sanctified and stay sanctified and righteous, I said, at Yahweh's appointed time, he'll bring you a sanctified woman. But I said, he ain't going to bring you no unsanctified woman until you get settled in the truth 100%. And sure enough, he got a woman all right. But he's not with the kingdom anymore either. For the changing of the guard, this is the next subtitle that Alan DeLong wrote. On Sabbath afternoon of January 26, 2002, Alan had the date on it. While entering the church, the voice of Yahweh spake to Brother Denton Brunken and said, there's going to be a changing of the guard. The Bible interprets these guards as watchmen to warn the people. Being the loud mouth that he is, Brother Brunken quickly told everybody that Yahweh had spoken unto him, including Brother Johnson. This really piqued Brother Johnson's interest because over the years, Brother Denton had delivered him many messages from the Yahweh, none of which he liked to hear. Well, not long after getting this revelation from Brother Denton, Brother Johnson brought for a document in early March of 2002 entitled A Letter of Declaration, The Divine Calls, Commissions, and Authority. In this letter he states, then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, crown him prophet, priest, and king. Thus Brother Johnson is declaring that Yahweh spoke unto him and told him that he is to have all three titles, prophet, high priest, and king. Then Brother Johnson quotes certain scriptures in Matthew 24. Zechariah 3 and 6, and Jeremiah 23 and 33, to back up his claim. If Brother Johnson did receive divine instruction from Yahweh, that he is to receive all three of these titles, then those who oppose him are in big trouble. But if he did not, then Brother Johnson is in big trouble with Yahweh. We shall now look at the evidence presented. Number one, prophet. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the master of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 24, 44 to 51. The last words that Brother Johnson spoke from the pulpit before he fell and broke his hip on, I believe it was June 11, 2002. That's my comment. That was the correct date. This is Alan DeLong still talking now. He says the last words that Brother Johnson spoke from the pulpit before he fell and broke his hip were, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." 3 times he spoke these words with a look of desolation upon his face. No doubt, in his 33.5-year tenure as a servant of Yahweh, Brother Johnson didn't bring much meat in due season and precious life in the scripture. He restored the true calendar system and the understanding of Yahshua's high priestly ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. Yet some of the prophetic predictions he made failed to come to pass, such as 144,000 will stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb on the day of the Pentecost, 1974. It did not happen, and it is time to start thinking about moving to Austin, Texas in 1996. Maybe Yahweh did speak these words, but the move has never materialized. As 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, "But where there be prophecy, they shall fail, especially if they are prophecies of man's devising." Every one of us has made thousands of mistakes in our short existence upon this earth, mostly because of our ignorance. I know I have, but if we don't learn from our mistakes and admit them, then we are bound to repeat them. Brother and Sister Johnson's philosophy was never admit a mistake. If you do, the people will lose confidence in you. And so they never did. But in reality, the exact opposite of that is true. To err is human, to forgive is divine. If you do admit to mistakes and errors, especially those that are blatantly obvious unto the whole congregation, then you gain the trust, confidence, and support of your followers. Never once from the pulpit did Brother Johnson ever admit that he had committed a grievous error when he went into business with his son, David, in Midland, Texas, in 1998-1999. Brother Johnson never consulted Yahweh on it. The mobile home business lost thousands of dollars. Yeah, like $53,000. They never sold one mobile home. David Johnson lost his life to the cancer, and Johnsons were forced into bankruptcy and very, very nearly lost all the church's assets, too. Yet through all of this, Brother Johnson was seeking for a way to justify what he had done. To better understand this faithful and wise servant, let us read from The Great Paradox, pages 34 and 35 of V.T. Hunter. The message for every church is addressed to the angel that has charge of the candlestick, the church, sin, and unto the angel of the church that led us in, right, Revelation 3:14. This angel cannot be a heavenly angel, for he is at fault, neither cold nor hot, wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and knowest not, Revelation 3:16 and 17. Therefore he is a servant to the candlestick, the church, as in Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Hence, by the angel of the church of the letter sins is represented the leadership, the one who is left in charge to feed the flock. Thus we see that the angel of the church of the letter sins in Revelation 3:14 and the faithful and wise servant, Matthew 24:45, are one and the same. Okay. The faithful and wise servant of Matthew 24:45 are one and the same. Well, I have to disagree with this. They are not one and the same. Alan didn't. Let's see what Alan's reasoning is on this before I say any more. And that is your Brother Johnson. That is you, Brother Johnson. You are the last leader of the Latter Day Saint Church. You are the last leader of a prophetic organization that is commingled with wheat and tares. Thus you are at fault, according to the prophecy. How did this faithful and wise servant digress into an evil servant? He got tired of waiting for his master to come, so he began to smite his fellow servant and eat and drink with the drunken. Well, the thing is, the faithful and wise servant in Matthew 24:45 is one of two that are mentioned there. And those two are together. V.T. Hollis says, the faithful and wise servant is the one that Yahshua makes ruler over all his goods, and the unfaithful one is the one that he cuts asunder and appoints in his portion with the hypocrites. And Vitalis makes it clear in the great paradox tract that he wrote by saying that that unwise servant, he didn't digress from a wise servant. And if he did, then I have misunderstanding, and so I stand to be corrected if that can be shown. But let us go on. Even though Denton and I were faithful supporters of you and your ministry for decades, this is all I'm talking now, even though Denton and I, Alan DeLong, were faithful supporters of you and your ministry for decades, you did not hesitate to smite your fellow servants when the chance came, and your support of birthday celebrations show that you like to eat and drink with the drunken. Yahweh came in an hour that you were not aware of, even though you were warned and cut you and your congregation off at 3 p.m. on the solemn assembly, September 28, 2002. Now you have your portion with the hypocrites, and all you have to look forward to is a weeping and gnashing of teeth, unless you repent and heed the message of the antipical Elijah. The choice is yours. Now here's Alan DeLong admitting that he believed that I'm the antipodal Elijah. Matter of fact, Alan is the first one to discover that. When I told him that day, he asked me, what was the latest? And I said, well, Elijah's on his way. And he said, he looked at me and he said, well, are you the Elijah? I said, well, I hadn't thought about it, but I guess you're looking at him. Huh. I was looking for somebody to come on down the road any time. He said, well, you're the Elijah. So Alan is the first one inspiration showed that to. And yet today Alan says, you're taking flattering titles. Well, when I showed by Richard Hollis said that this Elijah is nothing but antipodal David in the spirit and power of Elijah. It's like John the Baptist was antipodal Elijah in the spirit and power of Elijah. He was John the Baptist, but he was in the spirit and power of Elijah. And Yahshua called him Elijah. Okay. So anyway, Alan, he won't accept that, see. And so by rejecting that now, that he once believed, now he don't believe it no more, by rejecting that, he's no better off than Rutherford Johnson was. By knowing the truth at one time, and then all of a sudden wake up one day, and he don't acknowledge any of that being true anymore. This is a sad, sad, sad commentary. I never dreamed I'd ever in my lifetime see two men called of Yahweh that understood the truth at one time and completely did a flip-flop and threw it over and says, no, this wasn't the truth after all. Alan's action, that's exactly what he's saying. This is Alan, I'm going to continue now with Alan. This is Alan talking now. Since you and your congregation, he's talking to Brother Johnson, were cut off at the solemn assembly in 2002, and since you would not obey the voice of Yahweh spoken through Denton on July the 14th, 2002, and restore the daily, and since you were knocked out of the pulpit with a broken hip on June 11, 2002, by a prophecy from a madman, Dennis Roberts, and since you would not concede the changing of the guard from yourself to Brother Denton Brunken, you have been defrocked as a true prophet of Elohim. You can still claim the title of prophet, but because your grievous errors and mistakes and your obstinate rebellion to the commands of Yahweh, you can never again be a true prophet of Elohim. Now this is a prophetic statement by Alan DeLong. And I hope and pray that our people in Gilead, our Gilead group in Africa, hears this. I'm praying that Jeff White will get this information to them. Somehow, some way, we'll pray that that will happen. Priest, number two. This is Alan DeLong continuing on with his article, his letter to Rollis Johnson. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of Yahweh, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And Yahweh said unto Satan, Yahweh rebuke thee, O Satan. Even Yahweh that hath chosen Yahushua rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with the filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let him set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garment. And the angel of Yahweh stood by, and the angel of Yahweh protested unto Joshua, saying, And the angel of Yahweh protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, and thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the gravings thereof, saith Yahweh of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Zechariah 3:1-10. Then cried he upon me, and spake unto me, saying, Behold, these that go forward, go toward the north country, have quieted my spirit in the north country. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Take of them of the captivity, even Heldiah of Tobiah and Jedidiah, which are come from the Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and sit them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedek, and beat the for the inspiration, or we should call it under the inspiration, says, This Joshua, the son of Josedek, is antitypical David. The high priest, okay, and speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Yahweh of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of Yahweh, even he shall build the temple of Yahweh, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both, and the crown shall be to Helam, and to Tobiah, and to Jedidiah, and to him, son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of Yahweh. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of Yahweh, and ye shall know that the Yahweh of hosts has sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. Zechariah 6:8-15. For a man who is such a follower of the law of Moses as you are, Brother Johnson, this should be an easy one for you. No doubt, when you claim the title of prophet, priest, and king, you hadn't yet fallen and broken your hip. But now that you have a steel ball replacement in your hip, any claims that you make to be Joshua the high priest in Zechariah 3:6 are totally null and void. Let us see what Moses wrote on this subject in Leviticus 21:16-21. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whosoever be he be of thy seed in their generation, that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his Elohim. This includes the unleavened bread of the Yahshua's Supper. Whatsoever man he be that hath the blemish, he shall not approach a blind man or a lame or he that hath a flat nose or anything superfluous or a man that is broken-footed or broken-handed or crook-backed, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scab, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Yahweh made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his Elohim. This scripture is a stern warning from Elohim to you, Brother Johnson. You are not to break the bread and offer the wine, grape juice, at Yahshua's Supper this year. Also, your son Daniel Johnson is not qualified to perform this service either, for he was cut off at the Solemn Assembly in 1999 and again in 2002. And the phrase, hath his stones broken, means that if you have prostate problems or suffer under prostate disease, you are also disqualified to perform this service. By getting his vasectomy, Brother Denton Brunken had his stones broken and is also disqualified to perform this service, and he knows this. However, while this may disqualify him for the priesthood, it does not disqualify him to hold the office of a prophet, because no such laws were written, and besides, it is a well-known fact that the prophet Daniel, while in Babylon captivity, was a eunuch who did business in the king's court, and yet some of the most inspired prophecies in the Bible come from his writings. And Isaiah 56:3-6 says that Yahweh will bless the eunuchs that take a hold of his Sabbath and keep his covenant. Then who is qualified to perform the emblematic services at the Yahshua Supper this year? Yahweh will reveal this at his appointed time. But if you heed not this warning and decide that you are going to do it yourself anyway, then you will bring damnation unto yourself and your congregation, according to the Apostle Paul. And Brother Johnson went ahead and did perform the Yahshua Supper that year, 2003, after Alan sent him this letter. He did it anyway. And that's what brought damnation, final damnation upon him. Of course, I invited him to come and have the supper with us, and Alan was going to perform the supper. And Brother Johnson turned it down. For I have received the Master, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Master Yahshua, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Yahshua's or the Master's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Master unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Master. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Master's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Master, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto the condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. 1 Corinthians 11:23-34. How do you eat and drink the Master's Supper unworthily? For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the gift worthy of him, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of Elohim afresh and put him to an open shame. Hebrews 6:4-6. Those who have unforgiveness and hatred in their hearts toward their fellow brethren and sisters, and those who refuse to practice Matthew 18:15-20, to clear their record of the past and to bring about unity and harmony in the body of the Messiah, will, if they eat and drink of the Yahshua's Supper this year, do so unworthily and bring condemnation and damnation upon their own soul. They will also crucify to themselves the Son of Elohim afresh and put him to an open shame. So examine yourselves and be sure that you are worthy before you come into the house of Yahweh to partake of this most sacred service. Now that you, Brother Johnson, have been disqualified, not by man but by Yahweh Almighty, from being a high priest over the house of Elohim, and since you teach that you are the antitypical Joshua, the son of Nun, not Joshua, the son of Josedek, then who is qualified to be this Joshua, the high priest, in Zechariah 3:6, and receive a crown of silver and gold? Well, certainly more light will come upon this subject as the scroll unrolls, but we do know that the only one qualified to be a high priest in the New Testament is the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, Yahshua the Messiah. See Revelation 5:5. Being the root of David, this would also qualify him to be the branch in Zechariah 3:8 and 6:12, according to Isaiah 11:1. And he would be the man who builds the temple of Yahweh, Now, just who this Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, is, and who those four fellows that sit before him are, who all receive crowns of silver and gold, will be revealed as the scroll unrolled. It is not up to us to appoint certain positions to certain individuals that are in the Master's hand. And as you have clearly pointed out over the years, Yahshua Messiah is the high priest of the new covenant. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, Yahweh swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Yahshua made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto Elohim by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heaven, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sin and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities, but the worthy oath which was since the law maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Hebrews 7:21-28. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the Son. We have such an high priest who is sit on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which Yahweh pitched and not man. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Hebrews 8:1-6. Wherein Elohim willing more abundantly to show unto the helpers, or the heirs of the promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for Elohim to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for the refuge, to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Yahshua, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 6:17-20. The filthy garments, although you have been disqualified from being Joshua the high priest in Zechariah 3, there is one role that you did inherit, that of being clothed with the filthy garments. Now, if you want to be a brand plucked out of the fire, you must get rid of these, and the remedy is right here in this letter. Let me remind you of a vision Sister White once had. When Yahweh first gave me messages to deliver to his people, it was hard for me to declare them, and I softened them down and made them as mild as possible for fear of the grieving some. It was a great trial to declare the messages as Yahweh gave them to me. I did not realize that I was so unfaithful and did not see the sin and danger of such a course until in vision I was taken into the presence of the Yahshua. He looked upon me with a frown and turned his face from me. It is not possible to describe the terror and agony I then felt. I fell upon my face before him, but had no power to utter a word. Oh, how I longed to be covered and hid from that dreadful frown. Then could I realize in some degree what the feeling of the lost will be when they cry, mountains and rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. Presently an angel bade me rise, and the sight that met my eyes can hardly be described. A company was presented before me, whose hair and garments were torn, and whose countenances were the very picture of despair and horror. They came close to me and took their garments and rubbed them on mine. I looked upon my garments and saw that they were stained with the blood, and that blood was eating holes in them. Again I fell like one dead at the feet of my accompanying angel, and I could not plead one excuse. My tongue refused all utterance, and I long to be away from such a holy place. Again, the angel stood upon my feet and said, "This is not your case now, but this scene has passed before you to let you know what your situation must be if you neglect to declare to others what the Yahweh has revealed unto you. But if you are faithful unto the end, you shall eat of the tree of life, you shall drink of the river of the water of life. You will have to suffer much, but the grace of the Elohim is sufficient." I then felt willing to do all that the Yahweh might require me to do, that I might have his appropriation and not feel his dreadful frown. Early Writings, page 76 and 77. And the appointed watchman over your flock, you are required to warn them of the impending judgments that Yahweh is soon to bring upon the 11th hour apostolic Sabbatarian church if they will not hear the message of the antipical Elijah, the Tishbite. And he's talking about me, because Alan had declared that I was this antipical Elijah. Only if you warn the flock will you get your filthy garments removed. If you do not warn them, but instead you rise up against and fight against this message and block your congregation from receiving it, then their blood will be required at your hand, and you will have to bear those filthy blood-stained garments throughout eternity. The message that you are to bear is very simple. It's the same one you received last summer, and in fact, once instituted it during the early 80s. Number one, restore the daily, the divinely ordained system of worship. The daily, the 9 a.m. and the 3 p.m. is to be observed every day and every Sabbath and holy day. It is this system that sanctifies the congregation and purifies the church. This is the very thing that Alan Vallon rebelled a few years ago when he finally moved on our property when there's an opening here. And I told him, Yahweh wants him to move up here, and he did. And then he moved back off, and he said, "Now, the reason I want him to move on here is so that we could be here to do the daily together, both of us, and at the 9 o'clock and the 3 o'clock. And Alan believed in it at one time. But Alan doesn't do the daily as far as I know, because he rebelled against it out here and wanted to move back off of here. Okay, I know one day I was doing the daily at 8 o'clock in the morning, which is beginning of the third hour of the day. And I went over to his house, just a couple hundred feet away. And I said, "Alan, it's time for the day. Are you coming?" He said, yeah, I'm coming." So he was sitting in front of a television watching this here a yoga instructor going through this here transcendental meditation stuff, it looked like. And he was sitting there going through it with him. So he got up and he looked real irritated, and he came over here, and I went to the back room for just a minute. While I was in the back room, he said, "Well, I'm going back home. You're not here, I'm going back home." So I went back over and I said, "What are you doing?" He went back home and got back into his garb. He's back in front of that television again. I said, "Aren't you going to have the daily?" He said, "Well, I came over and you weren't ready." So he said, I said, "No, you don't want to do the daily. That's what's wrong. You just want to do this here transcendental meditation stuff here with this yogi instructor on this TV screen here, on this computer screen." I said, "You don't really want to do the daily." So that was true. He didn't. And so here Alan is telling brothers, "You've got to restore and do this daily." And then Alan goes on to say to brothers, "It is this system that gives you power over the nations. Number two, restore the sacred name. Stop using the titles of Lord, God, and Jesus, and start using the sacred names Yahweh, Yahshua, and Elohim. By restoring the true system of worship and the sacred name, you will automatically purge out the rebel. Do it now." And so this is the thing that Alan finally rebelled against here. And so he's no different than they were down at Kermit all through the years. Do the daily for a while and stop doing it and get an excuse for stopping the doing it and finally just quit it all together and then say, "Well, like brothers, we'll next do it when we get into the land." Always deferring to the next turn in the street. All right, we're getting close to the end of our study. Number three, Brother Johnson, Alan is dealing with this king now, this third part of these three divine commissions. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days shall Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Yahweh our righteousness. This is wrong. He shall be called the Yahshua. That's the Son our righteousness, not Yahweh the Father. That was just a typographical error, I'm sure, by Allen. Because he knows that it was Yahshua. Jeremiah 23:5-6. Behold, the days come, saith the Yahweh, that I will perform that good thing which I promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause a branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and justice in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Yahweh our righteousness, Jeremiah 33:14-16. Howbeit, you believe that you are this king, this a king in Jeremiah 23:5, and that you will reign and prosper and execute justice and judgment in the USA, and that come this Passover, March 17, 2003, you will be enthroned and receive a crown of silver and gold upon your head, for the voice of Yahweh spoke to you last week. At least this is what you said to Brother Brunken on March 6, 2003, in a phone conversation that you had with him. You know, since you have been very rebellious over the past several months to the voice of Yahweh and have not heeded the counsel that he gave you through an instrument of his own choosing, because the message did not come in a way to please you, then I would be very leery of the voice that you are now listening to. It sounds more like the voice of the Belial than the voice of the Yahweh. The path that you and your wife, Laura Mae Johnson, are now trotting is eerily similar to the path that Benjamin and Lois Roden once trod. Has Gilead Center changed into Rodenville? Number two, there have been many branch and Davidian leaders who have tried to grasp this David kingship, and they have all gone down into the pit. Are you falling in their footsteps? Well, let us go to the man who brought forth the light on these prophecies of King David and see what he has to say. And that man is V.T. Holliff. And he says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. And it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Isaiah 11:1-10. Thus we see that the ensign is both the rod and the branch combined. Since therefore from the stem of Jesse came the rod, David, and from the rod sprang the branch, Messiah, David the visible king, and Messiah the invisible king of kings, shall in that day, in our time, constitute the ensign, and unto it shall the Gentiles seek at his resting place, the location where the rod or ensign stands, the kingdom, shall be glorious. Yea, I will make the place of my feet glorious, Isaiah 60:13. Saith Yahweh, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, Yahweh, will be their Elohim, and my servant David a prince among them. I, Yahweh, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Ezekiel 34:23-25. Thus his church or kingdom is again reflected without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians 5:27. A theocracy of peace, safety, and invincibility under the rule of one shepherd and a king, David, his servant. But the fact that many kings reigned over Israel may in the minds of some give rise to the question, why David a type? Inevitably, because he's the only one who perfectly fits the antitype, the leadership, and the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message. This being so, then it necessarily follows that Saul, the first king who reigned over Israel, and who was largely responsible for the early experience of David's life, is a type of the church leadership in the period preceding the loud cry, the leadership which was raised up in 1844, and for the sole purpose of getting 144,000, the first fruits of the kingdom. In each case, type perfectly matches antitype. Mount Zion at the 11th hour, page 47 and 48. Well, so thus we see that in the last days we have both David, the visible king, and the Messiah, the invisible king, on the scene at the same time. David is a visible king in Jeremiah 23:5, and Messiah is invisible, a king, in the same verse, and the righteous branch is the people who are raised up unto David. Now, just who this antitypical King David character is yet to be revealed, but suffice it to say, it is not you, Brother Johnson, and neither are you the A King who is the Messiah. But you do have a kingship, though. You may not want it. You are the antitypical King Saul, and you fit the type perfectly. You are stubborn, stiff-necked, and rebellious. You will not obey the voice of Yahweh. You will not abdicate and give the reins over the Yahweh's chosen leader, and as the last angel of the Laodicean church, you represent the leadership of the Adventist church that is on the scene just prior to the loud cry of the third angel's message. And since you have been married to the antitypical Jezebel for over 60 years, you have also inherited the role of antitypical King Ahab. You both fit this type perfectly, since you are so opposed to the message and the person of the antitypical Elijah, the Tishbite, Bettenbrocken. And you refute the let go of your idols. We're going to keep birthdays, you said. So now that you have let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, and you expect to be exalted to the king's throne and receive a crown at this upcoming Yahshua supper, I have a few words of wisdom for you. Don't do it. That's not the voice of Elohim you are listening to. If you try to pull off a crazy stunt like this, you may very well receive a visit from the five men with the slaughtering weapons in their hands. You've been cut off, Brother Johnson. You are no longer the chosen leader of the Yahweh's remnant. You are not the last prophet that Yahweh has called. You disobeyed his voice, therefore you have been put out to pasture. Your only hope now is to hear the message of the antitypical Elijah and to take the orders that Yahweh gives you through his chosen servant. Then Alan goes into his next subtitle, Change is a Must. We're going to take that in our next study and finish this off in our next service. This brings us to this. Our contact is at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive to hear this message and more. We will close now with a song. A shelter in the time of storm. A Yahshua rock, in him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill betide. A shelter in the time of storm, for Yahshua is the rock in every land. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fear's alarm, no fear's affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. As raging storms rave round us be, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge there, a shelter in the time of storm. If thou art helper ever near, shelter in the time of storm. For Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. For Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.